Eufy is sponsoring today's video. They reached out to me. I tested out their video lock. It is a game changer. I'm going to paint a picture for you for why I'm so excited to work with them. So you're getting home, your arms are loaded with groceries or packages or boxes or everything, and your keys are in your pocket. This drives me nuts. This happens all the time. I upgraded to the Eufy video lock, fingerprint, tap, I'm inside. And honestly, I also feel way safer. It's got this awesome built-in camera. So whether it's a package delivery or late night Uber order, I see exactly who's there right from my phone. There are no more mystery knocks. And the best part, this thing was such a breeze to set up. There's no wires, there's no drilling. There's also no monthly subscription fees. So if you are done fumbling with your keys, because I definitely am, search for Eufy Video Lock or head over to eufyofficial.com/video lock. Your front door, your sanity. I just want to take a second and thank Policy Genius. They're supporting today's episode of Success Story. I know we all have kids. We all have families we want to take care of. And I personally checked something off major on my to-do list, life insurance. It's a tough topic. It's really hard to think about, but it's so important. And the hard part was sorting through all the options. Luckily, I found Policy Genius. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that makes getting life insurance surprisingly easy. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Now, knowing my family's protected brings me incredible peace of mind. Don't put off this important decision. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Welcome to the Success Story Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Clary. On this podcast, I have candid interviews with execs, celebrities, politicians, and other notable figures, all who have achieved success through both wins and losses, to learn more about their life, their ideas, and their insights. I sit down with leaders and mentors and unpack their story to help pass those lessons on to others through both experiences and tactical strategy for business professionals, entrepreneurs, and everyone in between. Without further ado, another episode of the Success Story Podcast. Thanks again for joining me today. I am sitting down with Henny Ishanu, who is the founder of Lion Marketing Agency. They're a full-service marketing agency dedicated to helping medium and large businesses achieve success and growth. His company has been awarded top marketing agency in Ontario in 2018 and 2019 by the Canadian or Canada Business Awards. Henny has also received top 40 under 40 for his success with the marketing agency and his community work with youth development, another hometown hero. So he's in Toronto right now. Maybe when everything's over, we can do like a face-to-face. But for the time being, man, I appreciate you joining me on Zoom. It's really nice to have you.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's my pleasure. So, you know, you're 24. It's relatively young. You have some successes, some top 40 under 40, award-winning marketing agency. What's your background? What's your story? Where did you come from? Did you mean to do this purposefully, accidentally? What's going on?
So my background's quite funny. Basically I came into Canada when I was 8. So I'm an immigrant, and having an immigrant parents was not the easiest job to have in Canada. And being that, we only had 2 to 3 job choices, honestly, and it was either to be a doctor, engineer, or lawyer, as those were the most secure jobs we can get. So I was always good in school for those reasons. And I went into university thinking I'm going to be this hotshot lawyer. I'm like, okay, I'm going to crush law school and get to become a lawyer because that was a secure job. And then about 3 years into university, while also I applied for LSAT, I did my LSATs, applied to law school. I was this close to going into law school, but what really happened was I was like, is this something I really want to do for the rest of my life? Is this something that is going to make me happy, honestly? And entrepreneurship was never in my view at all at this time. It was just there. I always had that business mindset that I always wanted to push, but I never went for. So I said in my third year summer, I was like, hey, let me tap into this and see if there's something there for me. So my third year summer, I started just watching YouTube and Google searching what's popular in this industry. And I've always enjoyed sales or just being with people and interacting with those. So I started looking into that. And then marketing was also something that was in that realm. So I went into it, and social media marketing was popping in 2015, 2016. So I was like, okay, let me get my hands in here. And I did. And I had two friends who had businesses. So I said, hey, let me try my skills on your business. And within 2 to 3 months, they saw some great success. So I was like, this is some route that I can continue forward. So hence, I did not tell my parents. So this going into my fourth year, I launched my small business while I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, I still will get that certificate from my parents. Even though I don't know where it is right now, I don't even think my parents know where this piece of paper is. But so yeah, I graduated. But in my fourth year, I started just working on it and owning my skills. And I also had 3-4 jobs to make sure I come out of it with no tuition. So I did that. And then after graduating, I went full force into this business, worked alone for over a year on this agency, working with clients, doing the delivery, all of it. And I knew that at that point, I'm going to need people around me to make sure that this business is scalable. So today, as you see, we have over 9 staff members and we work with, I mean, I only started with small business owners and helping them become either medium-sized businesses or just honing on their service and their product and making sure that it's getting delivered to everyone else. And then basically now we just help medium and large businesses. So that's the story.
It's an interesting story. Is it like you're very much a self-learner because you don't have any, you know, something I find interesting, a lot of successful entrepreneurs or the ones that have the highest rate of success are the ones that work in an industry for 10, 15, 20 years, and then they build out a product in an industry where they know there's a problem. That is not your story at all, by any means. You didn't do that. So like, how do you self-motivate? How do you self-drive? How do you know what works, what doesn't? Is it just you understood social and you basically just understood there was a need? Like, how do you build out a social media agency from nothing, I guess is my question.
Yeah, it's quite funny because I tell people, I get that question a lot and I say, I think it was just through trial and error. Like I tell people that people get lucky and at the same time, you have to create your own luck. And what I did was I just started to talk to a lot of people in this industry. I think, I know there's one that I look up to, a mentor we've been pretty close, which can be, he's very polarizing, Ty Lopez. I was one of his first few students to get into his social media course. And for that reason, we have that connection. And he has really helped me craft my skills as his own. And we work personally. And that really helped me hone in what I really need to do to take my business to the next level. And that also crafted in a way where I knew what would work in this industry and what wouldn't. And really avoid a lot of mistakes that I knew I would have made if I didn't have those mentors. And there was a bunch of them. Billy Jean is another one that really helped me understand my skills and use those skills to further help business owners.
And so that makes sense. You align with mentors. You learn from the people that have done it before. You fill the need. But how do you turn that into an award-winning company, right? Because when did you start this? You were like 2015?
Yeah, 2015. Yep.
So 3 years later, you're winning Canada Business Awards. It's very impressive. What's the strategy to build out an agency so that it's an award-winning agency and not just an agency?
Great question. So I think one of the first things I did was I identified what my weaknesses were. And I knew that I needed to either hire people or fill those roles in immediately to make sure that we're sustainable. So I knew that sales, being around people and everything around that space was what I'd love to do. The back end, sitting on a computer, making sure everything gets done in the back end, that was something I lacked at. I mean, I can do it, but I did not enjoy what I was doing in those spaces. So I need to make sure. And luckily, a year and a half after I created it, a great friend of mine was also in the same university, but also graduate in engineering, didn't want to do anything with it, but he was great with the back end stuff. So I said, hey, let's team up and see what we can do with it. So we partnered up. To this day, he is the anchor that holds this agency. I say that because he manages the people, he makes sure everything gets done, while I'm more the visionary and get the doors open for us to meet new clients and make sure that we're progressing in the near or progressing continue to grow bigger. And he holds it down. So I think that was the first thing, was to identify my weakness and make sure that I fill them, and also being okay with having a partner. You're not alone in this, and making sure that you're able to do that and finding the right partner. And we also got a business coach who really helped us, because during our first meeting, he literally made us do a personality test individually and shared the results with us, and we were polar opposites. And that's when we knew we were in sync. I know, again, partnership is a hot topic. People, I go one side or the other. I'm a huge pro for partnership. It's helped our business leverage it a lot much better than I could have done alone. So for that reason, create a partner. Then at the same time, identified what roles we really needed to make sure that we're able to scale the business. So we need to add support people. We need to have copywriters. We need to have content creators, social media managers. And slowly, once we were able to understand what those roles are, we're able to create that within our agency and make sure that those roles are filled in and we're working with the clients one-on-one.
And I think that something else that I don't know if you've done it consciously or subconsciously, is just focus on your own brand as you're as an entrepreneur, building out a brand. Like top 40, under 40, that's not something that everybody gets either. Like I mentioned, like the awards, not everybody wins those awards. So these are like, you're building out the brand of the agency. Like you're almost like doing what you're doing for clients for your own company.
Exactly.
So I think that, you know, it's funny because I see a lot of individuals that want to build up their brand. I see a lot of multi-million, you know, bordering on billion-dollar companies who can't market themselves the way that people consume content. And I would love to know like your thoughts on what problems companies have. Like what, you know, it still blows my mind. So not to diminish an agency, but it blows my mind that a multi-million-dollar company can't figure this shit out on their own. And just and like, why do they have to hire an agency to get their marketing right? But I see Fortune 1000, Fortune 500 brands that just totally miss the mark. And I don't understand why. And I'm curious if you have any ideas as to why people just can't get it right when you're at that level.
I think we do. And I think we see it every day, is the marketing, I guess, world has changed, where before it was all about sales. And now it's about authenticity at the end of the day. It's how a brand can get into those customers' doors and be authentic with them. Be real, be honest. Because at the end of the day, people buy things off of how they make them feel, right? So if it's a product or service, at the end of the day, it's how you make them feel. And most of these brands are so used to that old corporate structure of marketing that they forget that their customers are the right. Like they are number one. And if you can't focus on them, then you're not going to scale and your brand is not going to grow. And that's why you see all these small businesses having a huge platform today, is because they're able to be more authentic with their customers, because they can deal on that one-on-one relationship with them using their content, whether they're doing paid ads or on the content side. They're able to be authentic and be real with them and share that story with them, where all these big corporations, they have forgotten the sense of their brand or what their story that they're trying to tell. And that confuses consumers, because they can easily go to a small business that they understand and feel great with and purchase their product or service.
Mm-hmm. I think that you mentioned something. They lose sight of what their story is, like what their origin story is. Yep. And over years, that's why you see like the celebrity CEO or the evangelist having more social clout and more social power than the brand itself. Because that's authentic. That's a person. You can build that relationship with the person, right? How do you work with clients? Like, say I contact you, I want to build my business. I want to even understand the value add of an agency. I'm saying like, listen, I can go hire people internally. Why would I hire you? So what's your playbook for success for, you know, some of the people you work with?
Yeah. So honestly, we have a 6-point sales technique that we use to, I guess, bring a prospective client to become a client. And one of those ways is where, again, we're super honest with them, where we introduce ourselves, we'll do a discovery call or something simple, where we identify their problems, what they're having, right? So, oh, I need more sales. So, or I need more revenue. I need this and this, whatever their problems are, we identify it right away. And then what we do is we ask them, hey, give us a few days to come back with a solution. And what we do is we'll basically do a full audit of their whole marketing or their online space, what they're doing, what they're missing out, and try to align their problems that they're having with problems that they're doing or mistakes that they're doing on their online space that is affecting them. And we give them this free resource with recommendations on how they can do better. And we give it to them right away. It doesn't cost them a thing at all. So we give them so much value in the beginning so that we can gain a little bit of trust with them. And what makes that different is we'll take them up to six months to train someone in-house, a marketing person, bring them in, teach them all of this, and then try to push this out where we tell them, hey, this can get started on day one. This is how simple it is. We've given them all that value, and then we will do basically a proposal of what they have identified, where we tell them exactly what they should expect from us. And within our proposal, we include KPIs of what the metrics they should be looking for when we start their campaigns. And then at the same time, we also tell them that there's no contract with us. We work month to month with you. We believe that this is a partnership, not something we're trying to abuse or use your money for. And we try to also tell them that this is an education platform for you guys. So every week, we actually create 10 to 15 minute videos where we record one of our staff records everything that has happened the week before. We tell them the whole process of what we did. So they're always in tune, and we're also trying to teach them how much value that we're bringing into them. So at the end of every month, they know that they're not just getting a one-piece report that shows numbers that they can't understand and expect us to continue to get results, right? So that has helped us really get into doors with all these big clients, is because we've been able to give them trust and keep them in the loop, at the same time not feel like they're trapped into a contract that they can't get out of.
I think that's a very smart way of doing it. I like that. And I've never heard of an agency doing that. Like, even the video piece is like, it seems like common sense, like that's something you should be doing. Yeah. But because, you know, you think if you were an employee in an organization and you had to do a project, well, you'd be expected to present like the results of what you've accomplished, right? So why would it be any different? So, but I think that the issue with a lot of agencies is that it seems like everybody with a computer says they're a social media expert. Yeah. So that's the issue, right? It sort of diluted the whole industry. So when it's hard to sort of weed through, and I guess that's where you bring in the value piece right up front to do the audit. You show them what's going on, what's not working. And then that's when they start to build that trust. And what creates what is the, if I don't know, it's up to you how deep you want to go into your process, but I would love to understand what it, like, you must have some sort of boilerplate for like, these are the KPIs that, you know, you should be hitting as an organization. In 2020, what are those marketing KPIs that an organization should care about?
Yeah. So right now, if you were to ask me this in January, it would have been completely different to what we have today. Right now, if it's a client that wants to spend money on ads, the KPIs are going to be much different for someone who wants to have a content strategy of just putting organic content and pushing out and see what they are. But at the end of the day, it's all about shareability. Whether you're doing ads or you're doing organic content, it's how much your content can be shared. Because when it's getting shared, all you're doing is knowing that your story, whatever content you've created, is leaving an impact on one individual and making them share with their network. That is the most powerful thing that you can have today. Even if it was in January, I would say more KPIs are more of your ROI in every dollar you spend. Right now, even if you don't have that budget to spend on ads, you can also take that time today and create content that is shareable and make sure that people are clicking through and understanding what you really are and what you really are there for, whether it's a product or service. And even for service people who can't administer any of their services out because of the quarantine, tell your story, share DIYs of how that person or your customer can do it at home themselves. That puts so much effort and so much value in your service because they see how much work you put in, that once the quarantine is over, guess what? They're going to be coming back to you and say, hey, I really need your service. I see how much value you put into your service, right? So those are the things that really KPIs that you need to look for, whether you're doing any side of marketing today.
And do you find that there's one, because you mentioned, like, you know, we work on social, we work on content, the gamut of marketing activities is broad, to put it lightly. So do you find there's something that is the specific value add that you bring, or maybe like any really good agency would bring to the table, where companies are totally dropping the ball? Like, do people just not get social, but they really understand content marketing? Like, what is the thing that you see is like where there's the most room for people to grow and for people to sort of dominate in 2020?
Yeah, it's interesting because there's so many platforms that are being undervalued. And we try to educate our clients with that too. Like new platforms like TikTok, there it's a powerful tool, especially for the organic content side, where you don't have to wait to have 10,000 followers to put out content and make it go viral, where you can literally create an account and make one video. And if it's shareable, you are going to go viral. And you have a seed right there where you can talk about your brand, whether it's a personal brand or a business, you can talk about it and create content around that, which can take you up to 2 hours a day. And that's if you're really editing and going all out on it. Or you can just pick up your phone and record something and tell your story about your business or your service. There's platforms like Pinterest that have powerful backend where there, if you're a creative, if you're a business or a service that's all around the creative space, where everything is about the arts and the visuals, you can literally go on Pinterest in their backend where they even have trainings for the ad accounts or how to launch your own ad campaigns. And you can create campaigns that are so cheap because no one's using it. And there's platforms like YouTube also. I mean, they've been around for a while, but their ad space is so cheap right now because all these big corporations have left ever since last year and their big scandal there, that it's pennies on the dollar that you can be doing on brand awareness or content awareness about your brand or your service. So those are things that we, even our clients today or any new company that we tell them, it's like, we will help you use these platforms that are underutilized and make sure that you're getting every dollar that's spent properly, not just throwing it at Facebook and hoping it works.
Mm-hmm. And is there a formula for that viral, that shareable content that, you know, you're saying create stuff that's shareable? It seems to be like easier said than done.
Yeah. So with the content, if you're we can break it down. So if you are a product, it's explain their features and how it solves a problem. So most people have problems. So when they watch a video or they watch content, whether it's a picture or not, they identify problems right away. That fortunately, that's how people are. They will identify that problem. But if you don't present the solution in that content or video, they'll leave because they identify, but they won't make any connections. So if you're a product, identify the problems and feature all your solutions in it, and then put that content out there. If you're a service, quite similar, but what you're doing is you're showing them that service and how it solves a problem for them, right? So once you identify that, create that, and you can do micro contents there and there. And again, each platform is going to be different, where TikTok is going to be vertical videos. That's going to do that, where YouTube you can do horizontal, but similar content that goes around. And people are going to share that because you helped them solve a problem that they had with your product or your service. Even if they don't buy, they helped you share it to a network that might buy it there, right? So that's important. And that's if you're not spending any money. But if you're doing it on that side, it's so much easier because you know that content is going straight to potential customers that you know are going to more likely purchase your product or your service in the near future.
And so that makes a ton of sense to me. And I've actually heard this from several like copywriters for SEO. Like if you want to create if you want to create really good SEO, you're just answering your customers' questions in your blog, right? And that's something that I think I've heard a few times, but to be that subject matter expert, to answer the questions on social, it seems so straightforward, but I feel like so much of social is just blasting out your thoughts without any consideration for what the person receiving it. If you look at Twitter, it's just like, it's like a megaphone of people yelling at each other and no one's being considered, not no one, but I mean like the average piece of social content is very like individual centric.
Yeah.
So, and even for companies, I think, you know, if I pull up somebody's LinkedIn post, I don't think they're solving a ton of problems. Maybe they put up like a PDF or like a white paper or something like that. But at the end of the day, it's still a lot of like, this is what we're doing. This is what we've done. This is why we're awesome. This is why we're so great. But it's just like, really, you're taking the stuff that people are going to the websites for and you're just finding a way to put it on social. And it seems it seems very simple. But then another thing that I think, and also like your opinion on this would be good, but if you put out the content that is answering questions, and I see that, now I want to be the person that everyone looks to as that knowledge broker, the person who is incredibly smart and found that answer to the question that, so I'm going to be resharing that. So there's a psychological driver, kind of like when I find something funny, like memes are highly shareable, right? You find something funny and you want to share it because you want all your friends to think you're funny too. So I think it's the same. I'd love your thoughts on that.
It's great because I think what especially these micro communities are doing is they're not micro brands are doing is they're trying to create micro communities within them. And I think all these big corporations are falling. Like if you were to look at Burger King or Wendy's on Twitter, they're hilarious because they know that if they don't bring some spice or community vibe into their branding, then people are just going to be bored of their organic brands. So they would go with random people, put questions and tag them. They will answer very funnily or just be creative with it. So that creates that whole, oh, we're open. We're open to communication. I think that's a huge thing too. It's not just offering value too much, but also opening up dialogue within these brands. So making sure that they are easily approachable, whether you're a small business or a large corporation, right? So if someone, customer is talking to you, I think a lot of bigger brands are catching on and they're doing a great job as whether it's a support issue or they just want to know about your product or you're trying to create that influence or community vibe, is you just have to be open with your communication with them, right? So it's not just offering your problem and solution, but making sure that it opens up a dialogue where people can talk about those problems and also talk about how the solution helped them change their lives or change their day or made them happy for the day, right? So I think it's great that people are doing that, but it needs to happen at a lot more lime rate where it's not just you pushing out problems and solutions, but also talking about it and making sure your customers are also talking about it.
Yeah, it's a very smart attitude, I think, towards social. And I have seen some companies like, I was talking a lot of shit about like these Fortune 500 companies, but some of them do quite well, but not enough for the amount of brains and degrees.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins. And I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/ScottClary. That's netsuite.com/ScottClary. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family-owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive, and I bet you we've all been there, and maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay, and what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real. There are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professionals to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay. Thank you so much, Indeed, for sponsoring Success Story. For all business leaders out there, Indeed is a lifesaver. See, we're always driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. You're going to ditch the busy work and you're going to use Indeed for scheduling, screening, messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Clary. Just go to Indeed.com/Clary right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Clary. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
From these Ivy League schools that are behind their marketing teams, they're definitely not doing enough. So I think that that's a lesson you can learn from some of these smaller companies that are just killing it. And you see, like, you know, some of these startups, like, even before they're venture backed, still bootstrap, like, they can blow up on social because they have that access, right?
Yeah.
One thing you mentioned that I thought would be interesting was marketing during a pandemic and marketing during COVID-19. So what's changed from your point of view, from your customers, what you're doing for your customers, messaging, what's going on?
I mean, it has made a huge change because before this pandemic, it was all about how our clients can get into the doors of their customers and get a sale, whether that's through just organic content or paid ads. Now it's more about how can we all together as a community help each other with your branding, your content, your ads, right? So our messaging and everything has changed to how our client's product or service can help someone ease their burden from the COVID and how they're stuck at home or lost their job or something, right? So all our copywriting, everything has basically changed in where we make sure that we're also understanding what people are going through so that we're not trying to come off at just still selling a product or selling a service when people probably won't even have the money for, and they're probably in debt or stuff like that. So we're trying to educate our clients to make sure that they're aligned with either organizations that are helping out and giving back, and making sure that we're also being smart and lowering their budget because we know that they're not going to get the same results that they were going to get before. and making sure that they're allocating their budgets to different sections of marketing. So we're encouraging a lot of them now to do focus on content, right? Because this is where, this is a time where either your business shut down or you're not even getting any services done. So this is a smart time for you to hone down all the content you want to be pushing out, whether it's COVID related or just brand related, and making sure that aligns and you're pushing out content. Because most people now, if they're not working or they're just staying at home, guess what? They're plugged to their phones. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be swiping up a timeline. And if your content's constantly showing up, you're just putting that behind their back of their head, where when services are open up again and we're able to go back to normal, you're always going to be, they're always going to remember you and probably purchase your product or service.
And do you think that there's an extra need to be sensitive right now because of like not just changing where the content's going, but like the whole messaging? I think you actually did touch on this, but what have you seen any adverse reactions to people or marketing that's not sensitive? What are your thoughts on what that is? That going to be something that's going to stick with people long term? Or are they going to forget about companies that don't sort of alter their marketing strategy? You think it's going to be like long-term repercussions for people that don't sort of wise up during like COVID-19 and whatnot?
I can probably say it's a yes and no question, because yes, if I mean, it depends on how much they're spending or how much attention they're getting. If we're talking about a small business, I don't think it will affect them that much because they're able to switch up and make changes and go forward. Where it's a big corporation or a large company, then yes, people are going to remember that, and they're going to attach the feelings that you made them feel with that whatever campaign was that in the future. Like I know Volkswagen had that one racist video that they had like 2 months ago, and I'm like, first of all, how did that go through how many and get accepted to go publish? At the same time, you're leaving another pain point from all the other stuff that you've done before. Instead of encouraging people to be as a community and come together, you've decided to harm your reputation or your brand. So that is going to take you how many years? I don't even want to think about how many years it's going to take them to bounce back and make it so that that video has never appeared.
Volkswagen has not had Volkswagen's had a tough time. Exactly. To say the least, man.
100%.
Do you think that the landscape of marketing and the way that people consume and buy products is going to change permanently?
Yes. We're seeing it today, where all these brick and mortar stores are forced to open up an e-commerce platform. And there's great organizations, even here in Toronto, that are doing Shop Here, where they're giving you free resources to go create an e-commerce platform. I think that is a future. We've already seen the trend even before COVID, and COVID is just helping put a more of an awareness that we're always moving to the online space. So businesses now are being forced to do it, but it's also helping them because now they have less amount of costs and expenditures when all your products are waiting for product or service to be booked online, where you can just create a website that's going to cost you free for now, but even in the future, it's going to be super cheap. And you can bring your audience, your customers, all in one place where they can purchase, learn about you, and endorse your product.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, before I want to just go back to a couple of questions just like about you and what you've sort of done over your career and what you plan to do. Just in terms of like marketing in general, is there anything that you like is like a really hot topic item or just like industry thing that you're noticing that we didn't talk about, or did we cover a lot of things you're dealing with right now?
Yes, we did. I think we covered a lot of things that are happening now, especially with, we're telling all our clients even today is just push out content right now. This is the best research you're going to have, and you don't have to spend a lot of money on. Mm-hmm. You already have a base. Utilize platforms that nobody's using right now. Businesses are not using right now because it's much cheaper for you to get into today. And make sure that you're always pushing for brand awareness and teaching people about your product or service and how it can help their lives. Because yes, they might not buy it today. Even if you're running an ad campaign, most people don't buy after the seventh time they see your ad, right? So same thing with content. They're gonna see it. But when they need your services, guess what? You've always been at the top of their mind. So they're gonna purchase your product or service when they need it. So make sure that you're always pushing out content in those eyes. And whether you don't even have those eyes yet, guess what? Make sure it's shareable. And at that point, you're going to get new eyes regardless.
And then I actually did have one more like marketing question. I just thought of it as you were answering that. How does a company who considers themselves to be very traditional take advantage of a new and emerging platform like TikTok?
Great question. So basically all these traditional companies, they already have content, right? So it's not like you're going to have to go out there and create new content. All you have to do is break up the content you already have into a platform that works. So like TikTok, it's all about vertical videos. So if you had videos, long form videos that you had, you can chop it up and push that content out into TikTok. And what I even recommend is, depending on what niche, go search up the hashtags that are going viral in your industry, then make content around that. So even if you're traditional, all you have to do is let's say you're a hair salon or something like that, right? So all you want to do is, you've always had that brick and mortar, you never did anything outside of that. Just go on to TikTok, search up a hashtag around hairstyling and see what's trending. Someone might be curling their hair or something like that, and they went viral on that, or they're teaching a new style. So all you do is create content around that hashtag with your type of styling and push out that content, right? So it's even for traditional, as long as you have a camera, I mean, most business owners have a camera, whether you're traditional or not, push out content where you record yourself creating that style, push that and put that hashtag and just let it go. And then see.
And then I think half of it is just starting. That's another thing too that people have a hard time doing for some reason.
Because it's change, and especially for business owners, they're scared of change because they're used to how business operate, right? So, and I think this COVID is such a big wake up call because they have no choice; they have to change, or their business is going to die. Unfortunately,
That's a good insight. Now back to you. What you would like to do or how you want to scale your business. Where do you want to take? I didn't mention the name of your agency at the beginning. So it's Lion.
Did I?
Okay. I apologize. I couldn't remember, but I just wanted to say, where are you going to take the Lion agency? Like, where do you want to go with it? How are you going to get there? What's your 5, 10, 15 year plan? Not to sound like, you know, I'm a teacher or something trying to map out your future, but I'm curious where you take an agency after, you know, it was kind of created, and it wasn't when you were in university, it wasn't really your game plan, and it's been massively successful to this point. So where do you go now?
Good question. So even going into this agency, I knew this was not a long-term thing for me. It was just a space where I can hone on my skills and make sure that I'm able to deliver things that I promise. But I think in a few years, 2 to 3 years, I would want to be in a place where this agency can run without me. So trying to find my replacement in this space of my agency so that I can carry out things I really love to do, which is basically that whole youth aspect is I want to be in a place where I'm able to invest in different youth startups or young people that have amazing ideas. I mean, I'm doing that now in just as a side project, but this is something I'd love to do is because they're brilliant minds out there. I've been privileged to do pitch competition judges, and I sit there and I'm like, man, at your age, I was probably playing video games and doing stupid things, and you're out here trying to change the world. Those are the things I really want to push forward in the next couple of years. And my 15-year goal, which is something absurd, something I had a dream of being a child, was to bring these top-level medical clinics in each hemisphere of Africa and make sure it's a border-free resource where anyone around those areas are able to utilize those health clinics and make sure that they're well taken care of. So that's a goal I've been working on since last year, trying to get into the doors of investors and try to get into the doors of doctors and government officials to see how this can happen, this idea of mine.
But you know, it's not when I speak to you, it's not surprising why you're successful, because even though you're living a successful business right now, you still have like your goals mapped out. Like you still know where you want to head. And that's very difficult. It, again, seems so basic if you're living it, but if you're doing it, but it's so hard for people to do that. But you, like, even your 15-year plan, which is incredibly ambitious and obviously an incredible initiative, you're taking steps, you're taking micro steps towards that while running an agency, while investing in, or I'm not sure if you're investing, if you actually have equity in several startups, but at least you're, you know, you're providing guidance and mentorship for some of these startups with the hopes that eventually, like, you know, this will be something that you can do more permanently after somebody takes the reins online. So it's like, it's like setting up that path for success so you know where you want to be. And I think that that's like, if people don't figure that out, if they don't even have some like idea of like what their North Star metric is in 15 years from now, what they want their life to look like, it's very difficult for you to get there because you're not taking all those small little steps along the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's great because I think what it's through a lot of, I mean, I read a lot and I think that's where I picked up those pillars, like 7 Habits of Being a Successful Person. Like that's such a great book because it helped me identify that I knew that this agency wasn't my lifetime thing I wanted to do. So I was like, okay, working back. And I always had that dream, but I've always put it aside because I was like, okay, it's too ambitious. Like I don't, it scares me. And I think I read that quote, if your dreams scare you, then you're on the right path. I was like, you know what? I'm going to see how much I can get achieved starting from today. So I've been privileged to talk to the African Commission's like directors, see how free passports, borderless passports can even be viable in that industry there. And then even borders, Doctors Without Borders, talking to the directors there and seeing, okay, how can we bring the best of the best to work in these facilities and make sure that they're able to administer their professions there. So putting those things in place, I'm able to map out, okay, how many years is that going to take me? Who do I have to contact? And getting to those networks so that I'm able to open more doors into that space, right? So I think networking is a huge thing that, I mean, we probably didn't talk about, but I think it's such a huge thing. It's not just saying, hey, how are you? Let's connect, but more like, okay, how can I help you and how can you help? Achieve these things we have. And it's again, it's being about authentic. And I tell them my plan, this is what I want to get done. And I really want you to be in a space where we can change Africa for the future. And just telling them my story, it really helps open doors because I feel like they see the value in that and how much we can change the world if we just come together.
Can you, if you don't mind, I would love to know more about what is it, like you're speaking about planning this out, but what is the project? Like how does this actually play out? I'm really curious, and it's totally nothing to do with marketing, but it's an interesting topic. So what is this that you're trying to achieve exactly for Africa?
I think for Africa, I just want every resident, every person living in Africa to have the best healthcare ever. I feel like we've, as a continent itself, we've been so diminished because of our health status there. So even there, because I lived 8 years of my life in there since I was born until I was the age of 8, and I've seen it. I still remember the times. We have not been in the best service there. Luckily, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to have a family there that is wealthy enough to have the best care, which is private care, and going out to countries in the Asia space to get their healthcare, not even in the country, right? So that's when that idea came in. And then when I come to Canada and see how amazing their healthcare is, I mean, it's not the best, but seeing their healthcare here, and I'm like, oh my God, we're missing out. Like, imagine what Africa can be if everyone was provided the best healthcare possible. So what that really looks like is basically having every country come together. I know it seems impossible because there's so much tensions between every single country in that continent, is making sure that they all come together in a way where they open their borders to people, because it's not like I can open up a massive health clinic in each country, which is nearly impossible. But if we're able to have 4 pillars in those different hemispheres where people from different countries can access them with a simple border, a free border pass, but I don't know what that would look like, to just get that healthcare they need and they can return to their country, that is basically my end goal there. And to make sure that the governments and the investors pay for that service instead of the people that are actually using that service.
And how do you actually, and this is obviously, you know, a loaded question, but how do you actually get that done? Because there are so many personalities and governments and ideologies in different parts of Africa, well, the world, but just not exclusively Africa. But like, how do you get that alignment? Is there something that you've thought through? I just find it a very interesting concept. I've never heard of anything like that, and it's almost like a global healthcare at global, like cross border healthcare system.
Exactly. So how we get that is also there's pillars like Africa Commission, which is basically the United Nations basically replica of Africa. So every nation comes together, have those meetings, talk about what they need to get done. So that's one pillar there, going into those commissions there and addressing this issue and seeing what people are afraid of or what they don't want to happen, and getting those resources together and making sure that we're able to build a plan around their nays and saying, okay, we need to do this, or we can't have this because this border doesn't work, or stuff like that. So how we can make it work, identify their problems, and try to find a solution to them. So same thing as in marketing, we identify what problems that they have with the idea and try to address it with them. Then getting involved with WHO, World Health Organization, see how we can tap into their networks and help get funding. So whether it's from these first world countries or anyone, that private investors or not, trying to get that in there and see how we can develop that kind of plan where each country agrees to having that. So, I mean, most of it will come down to the countries hosting those clinics. I mean, they have to take on the burden because, again, it's an open border where they come in, get service, and then they have to be back. So how we coordinate that is the biggest issue there, I think, that they're going to have problems with. So we're addressing that and saying, okay, how can we have a delivery system where they can just cross the border, go straight to the clinic, and go straight back into their country without being able to do anything else? So that is that whole, I know, issue that a lot of people have brought up, is like, okay, the security issue is that biggest problem. So how we can create that transportation system is going to be the biggest issue there.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting initiative. I wish you a ton of luck with that as that sort of progresses, because I always find, like, you know, like, it's so nice to see when somebody who has some measure of success can then obviously improve outside of their own life and really on a global scale, because of course there's so many initiatives like in Canada that people need support with, but also I think that it takes a little bit of extra effort to go overseas, to go into a region and not just pour money, poor is the wrong word. give money into something that is a worthy cause, but you're like almost like building infrastructure from the ground up in a place that doesn't have the infrastructure. There's no, you know, cross-border medicine group in Africa that you're just going to give them $50 million and say, that's it, you know, that's it. It's like you're building this from the ground up. So it's an entrepreneurial venture while being also like very altruistic and yeah, it's a very nice thing. Very well, good luck. It's going to be difficult. I can see how there could be some issues, but yeah, very interesting stuff.
Again, if it's not worth having, then it's not worth fighting for, right? So I'm ready for the fight. I'm ready for it. So we'll see where it takes me.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's all. Listen, you have the plan. That's all that matters. And you're ambitious, and that's the second half. If you're ambitious about something, it's incredible what you can actually do. That is a life lesson. Like, you know, you never thought that you could build out a marketing agency when you hadn't started it yet. But if you literally just put everything you have into it, like you said, if it doesn't scare you, right, then it's not worth going after. Seriously. I like to ask two questions and sort of like tee up just like your experience. One of them being, and you've kind of already given a ton of these, so you know it's a little bit redundant, but you're a smart guy, so you'll think of something else. just like one life lesson that you would tell your younger self that can be, you know, agnostic of industry, that would help you get to where you are a little bit quicker.
Great question. I think I would talk about finding the right mentors and just shutting up and listening. I feel like in the world we are today, we all like to talk and we don't like to listen. And when I say listen to understand, because these people have been through it. And I can honestly say that even in my younger age, I just listened to listen, did not understand what they meant by it. And I made the same mistakes that they told me to avoid, right? So that is such a great aspect that I still tell everyone. I still do that to myself, where I would sit down with someone, I don't care where they're from or if they're below me or above me, I'll be like, I'll shut up and listen to your story values and what you're able to take out of it and see how I can use that, right? So I think find the right mentors and listening to understand is a huge thing I would have told my younger self, for sure.
Very good lessons. resources, like a book, a podcast, an Audible, something that you enjoy that would be good for other people to pick up?
Great. Great question would be start with why. I think especially if you're an entrepreneur, even just someone that's lost in a career path or just in that industry, I think it's such a great book because it helps you identify your pillars of what you really want to accomplish in your life. And that really helped me hone in my lifetime plan, what I really want to get done today, and what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. So that's such a great book that I enjoy. Any podcast such as yourself that is pushing out content that has value from people is amazing. I mean, every car ride, I know we can't do it now, but every car ride, I would be like blasting podcasts from everyone, right? So because at the end of the day, it's everyone has something to teach. I don't care if you have one listener or a million listeners, you have something of value. And I'd rather listen to that than listen to music where, I mean, again, music is also another avenue to learn from, but at the same time, podcasts are huge resources for that. So any podcasts, honestly, that are pushing out business knowledge or self-knowledge, huge, huge proponent of that. What else? I love documentaries. So I think that's a great way to also learn. So, I mean, Netflix is a power storm of documentaries you can start watching. I know most people don't like it, but it's if you really listen and understand what those documentaries are trying to teach you, they can be a lot of value there too.
Very good. And 100% agree. I actually love watching documentaries. I don't like watching like TV for watching TV, but I do like watching. I nerd out at some of the stuff too. So, and last, but certainly not least, most important, where do people find you, get in touch with you? If they want to contact you, they want to go check out Lion, they want to go check out anything you're working on. What's the best place?
I'm pretty social, so you can find me on LinkedIn, just searching my name. If you put in any, it'll probably show up there. Not a lot of people have that name. I know my actual name is Henok, but I haven't heard that ever. It's just I'm Henny at this point. So I just go with Henny. Same with Instagram, if it's Henny Empowers. So if you like to DM me there, I will perfectly respond to that.
That's all for today. Thanks again for joining me on another episode of the Success Story Podcast. You can download or stream this podcast wherever podcasts are available, including iTunes, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and many others. You can also watch this podcast on YouTube. If you haven't already, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends, family, coworkers, and peers. Please leave us a rating on iTunes. It takes about 30 seconds as it allows other people to find our podcast and lets our amazing guests reach even more people with their message. And remember, any rating is fine as long as it contains 5 stars. I'm Scott Clary from the Success Story Podcast, signing off.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/Scott Clary. That's netsuite.com/Scott Clary. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family-owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive, and I bet you we've all been there, and maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay, and what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real. There are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks or accounting professional to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay. Thank you so much, Indeed, for sponsoring Success Story. For all business leaders out there, Indeed is a lifesaver. See, we're always driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. You're going to ditch the busy work and you're going to use Indeed for scheduling, screening, messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Clary. Just go to Indeed.com/Clary right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Clary. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.